Good morning. Happy Sabbath to all of you. As always, it's a pleasure to see all of you and worship together with you. And as you've noticed already, there's a little change. And the title of my sermon today is The Cry of Faith. The Cry of Faith. There's a little book in the Bible that sometimes we even have a hard time finding. The book of Habakkuk, the prophet, that has just 3 chapters. But what an amazing message we get from that book. And if you can believe it, we're going to cover the whole book today. And it's not going to take us long. And it's very important to look at the whole book and see the big picture. Because we're going to see a great transformation that can take place in each one of us. What is that book all about? What is the message of the book? Let me just give you maybe in a few paragraphs a very general explanation. So we'll see the big picture. And then we'll have a chance to go a little deeper and to follow the prophet and see what actually took place in his life. So Habakkuk wrestles with the matter of how to understand the justice of God in a world full of injustice. Habakkuk questions God's fairness by demanding that he send his judgment upon the wicked. So those are the 2 main thoughts that we can grasp by reading the book. But let me walk you through, again, it's going to be a very general picture, but let me walk you through a little bit closer to the message of this book. So the message of Habakkuk unfolds as follows. The prophet is upset, asking God why he does not do something in light of the widespread wrongdoing and violence in Judah. God responds by indicating that he is about to act by raising up Babylonians to serve as the agents of his judgment on Judah. And this creates even a bigger problem for Habakkuk. And he wonders how God can allow this. Because according to his assessment, the Babylonians are more wicked than the people of Judah. And the Lord challenges him to have both patience and faith, and declare that the wicked Babylonians will also receive their judgment. In light of this revelation of the divine plan, the prophet Habakkuk reflects on God's past actions to save his people and resolves to trust the Lord in the future, regardless of his circumstances. This is it. This is the whole book, right there, the short version. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. I'd like to read that again. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. When you hear these words, what comes to your mind? What kind of an attitude or worldview, maybe even character, can you see through these words? Well, isn't that a very positive statement? This statement is filled with faith and encouragement. Well, that's the end of the book. But the beginning of the book is quite different. And I invite you to go back to the very beginning of the book and see where we find this prophet in the very beginning and what he has to say there. When we look in the first chapter, verse 2, we read, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Can you relate to these words? O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why? I think we can relate to these words. And I'm not going to even ask you. I know at least for some of us, maybe most of us, we've been there. When we kept crying and crying and asking God, Lord, please do something. Please come in. Please intervene in my circumstances. Please do something with it. And we don't hear anything back. Well, evidently, Habakkuk has for some time been expressing concerns to God
about the wickedness prevalent in his society over a period of time, but nothing has changed, and injustice continues to abound. And of course, we can read in other scriptures, and we find the context. We find that the king of Judah and Jerusalem was a very wicked man. And so his prophet Habakkuk was struggling quite a bit, because he was the voice of God to the people. However, there was no justice. And it's interesting that in verse 3, we just started reading that verse, he says, "Why do you show me iniquity?" It's like he is in the center of himself. He is the central point of what is going on around him. And he keeps focusing on himself, and he keeps crying, and he keeps complaining. And he says, "Lord, why do you show me this? I don't want to see this. It's enough for me." Just hold on to that thought, because we'll see a slightly different turn with that thought a little later on. Because in this book, we see two dialogues. There is dialogue one, when the prophet asks God and cries out to him, and God responds. And then there is another time when he continues asking God, and God responds. So two times. In this first dialogue, the prophet seems to be focused on himself. Well, let's look at what God said. We find that in verses 5 through 8, chapter 1. God said, "Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves," and so forth. What would you say after these words? We just heard his cry, and we didn't even finish reading. Maybe it would be beneficial for us to read, and I'll invite you to read through all the book on your own. But we just heard the cry of the prophet, and instead of comfort, we hear these words: "The Chaldeans are coming." Well, who are the Chaldeans? Well, they're a master race in ancient Babylon. They were scary people, and there was a lot to be afraid of. Now, can you relate to this experience when you kept asking God, crying for help, and instead of help, it seemed like things got worse? Can you relate to that? I can. And so, therefore, the prophet cannot be silent. He goes on. He starts his second request in verse 12. And listen carefully to the words that he has to say. Verse 12 in chapter 1. "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die." Now, let's pause here. What is he saying? It seems like he is turning now to, when he heard the response from God, he turns back to him and says, "Wait a minute, God. Now, aren't you Holy One? Aren't you the God of eternity from everlasting to everlasting? Wait a minute. The way I know you, it just doesn't make sense to me." And then he makes this statement. It seems like it's out of context. He says, "We shall not die." What is it? I would like to suggest that this is a statement of faith that he makes right there in the middle of darkness and uncertainty. Is it an easy thing to do? To make a statement of faith in the middle of struggles, suffering, and uncertainty. But that is a great lesson that we have right there from the prophet. He makes this statement of faith. And we'll see a little more, but we cannot miss this part. So he turns to God and says, "Lord, you are the Holy One. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O Rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. and cannot look on wickedness. And then listen to this. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously? He just asked in the first dialogue, why do you let me see this iniquity? Why do I have to deal with this, Lord? And now he turns to God, and it seems like another picture comes to his mind. Wait a minute, there is God in this picture too. He is there too. He is involved in this. And he turns to him and says, Lord, now, how do you look at this? You know, I am a human being. I am a sinful man. And I cannot even look at this anymore. Now, how can you do that? And that is a very interesting and a very important lesson right there. Do we see and do we realize that God is a part of the picture that we see? He is involved in whatever you and I are dealing with. He is there. And if we cannot even look at that anymore, now let's think about him. How long he has been dealing with all kinds of difficulties. Instead of putting ourselves and making ourselves the center of the universe, it's very important to find God in the picture right there with us. It changes the perspective. It changes the perspective quite a bit. And then, in the beginning of chapter 2, we see the decision that the prophet makes. Verse 1, chapter 2, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. That is another beautiful lesson that we find here. What does he do? He says, you know what? I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to wait for you, Lord. I'm going to wait for your answer and I'm going to look very, very carefully at what you are going to do with this situation that I'm finding myself in. It's like he's putting God on the spot. He's not in the position to protect God, to explain things. He cannot explain anything. And he's very honest about it. And he puts God on the spot and he says, I am going to watch and wait to see what you will do. Isn't that a great lesson? And then Lord answered. Chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What? Behold the proud, his soul is not upright, but the just shall live by his faith. Are you comforted at this point? Would you be fulfilled, or would you be able to say, oh, great, this is it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this answer. Do you feel like you're satisfied with this answer? Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. It sounds like there is no answer. It sounds like keep waiting. It sounds like keep trusting. It sounds like faith is the answer. You probably will have to skip the rest of chapter 2, and you're welcome to read it on your own. I'd like to read just the very last verse of chapter 2. But the Lord in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. And I'd like to connect these two verses. But the just shall live by his faith. Faith in what? But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. He, the prophet, didn't find the answer here. What he found, though, is the fact that God reigns, that God is still on his throne. He is where he is supposed to be, and he is in charge. He is in control. He is in his temple. That's what the prophet has found. I don't know about myself, if I were in his place, if these words would be enough for me. But look what the prophet had to say afterwards. And chapter 3, up until the very end, verse 16, is a response from the prophet. And if you will take your time to read it, it's an amazing statement of faith. It's actually a song. It's a hymn to God. Now we can ask ourselves, wait a minute, there was no answer. He didn't receive the answer. What is he praising God for? That picture that he saw of God being in control, being in his temple, was enough for him to start praising God. And I'd like us to read the very last part of that song, verse 17 and on. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And as you can see, the circumstances have not changed. However, the statement of faith is there, which is based on the picture that he privileged to see, God being in control. There are so many lessons we can learn from this book, but I'd like to focus our attention just on three very powerful lessons. I'm going to give you a very short version of them first. Lesson number one, speak. Lesson number two, speak. And lesson number three, be silent. Lesson number one, speak. Tell him about your pain, struggles, suffering, discomfort, troubles. Tell him about your circumstance. Just the way you feel. Just the way you see. Tell him about it. Habakkuk makes it clear that it is not wrong to engage in candid dialogue with God and to strive to understand his dealings with humans. While we need to manifest respect and reverence toward the Almighty, honest questioning of the Lord's ways can ultimately result in a deeper faith and give us a stronger connection with the living God. Speak. Tell him what's going on in your life. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, speak. Make a statement of your faith. In the middle of uncertainty and darkness and suffering, say out loud what you believe in. He said, "We shall not die." That was his statement of faith. In your and my circumstances, it'll sound different, but let's make that statement of faith. Just say out loud what you believe in, even though there is nothing around you or me that we can find as a reference point to that statement of faith. It comes only from the Word of God. Thus says the Lord, and say it out loud. This is your statement of faith. Speak, lesson number two. Speak your statement of faith. And lesson number three, be silent. Wait on God. Let him handle the situation. Let him be in control. Let him be on his throne, in his temple, where he belongs. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. This is the lesson number three. Can we repeat those lessons? Speak. Tell him about what's going on. Speak. Give him your statement of faith. Say it out loud. And then let God be God. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, You are here, you are listening to us, and you are hearing all our pain and suffering and struggles, what we are going through. And we appreciate, Lord, that you are willing to listen to us. Lord, you were willing to listen to the prophet, and you are willing to listen to us. And we know that you know every struggle that we are dealing with. Heavenly Father, give us courage in the middle of pain to testify our faith and make that statement of faith. And Lord, give us patience and wisdom to let you be God, to let you be in control of the circumstances. Heavenly Father, we pray that the experience of the prophet that we just learned about, that started with crying and ended with praise, will be our experience today. In your name we pray. Amen.